Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesztc.org.
Holy Father, on behalf of Michelle and myself, welcome to the White House.
I would not advocate that we put a Muslim in charge of this nation. I absolutely would not agree with that.
It's an evil organization. It doesn't serve women. It doesn't give women choices. It's there to build an empire on the bodies of dead babies.
Everyone who has perpetrated these sins, Jesus responds by forgiving that sin. Everyone who is victimized by these sins, Jesus responds by giving them victory over these sins, by shedding his blood for their own transgressions.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Maybe the comparison is this. We don't have a pope in evangelicalism or in Protestantism, but for all intents and purposes, if you look at how people consume evangelical, pop evangelicalism, there are a number of them. One of them probably is a guy like Joel Osteen. Now, I often criticize Joel Osteen not for what he says, because what he says is completely harmless and mostly innocuous, except for those things about imagining and being able to speak reality into existence. If you're just listening to him for his advice, there's nothing wrong there. It's what he doesn't say. It's what he routinely doesn't say. Well, the real Pope was in the U.S., of course, last week, and he said a lot of things, but he also didn't say a lot of things, too. Is there a comparison there? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Peter Scarer is going to join us to get a Lutheran perspective on Pope Francis's U.S. visit. Then Pastor Tom Baker will be alongside. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on the birth of Moses in Exodus chapters 1 and 2. You can join us for the next hour with questions or comments. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesztc.org, a tweet at issuesztc. Our beloved on-demand listeners, use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Dr. Peter Scarer is our guest. He joins us for a Lutheran perspective on Pope Francis's U.S. visit. He's Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Peter, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Always glad to be with you, Todd.
Before we get to the papal visit, I do want your thoughts on the death of our mutual friend, frequent guest here on the program, Maggie Carner, who was called back Christ in Friday evening. What are your thoughts there?
It's a deep sorrow, and when I heard the news, you know, we all think about where we were when we heard the news. I was at a life conference down in Texas, and I was speaking alongside of one of my heroes in the world of life, and that's Dr. James Lamb. And it hit us hard because what a great place to be speaking about life issues, to be speaking in defense of the unborn and against mercy-killing euthanasia. Because Maggie really was a testament to life, and she has been for a long time a good friend. The last time I saw her was at another conference when I was speaking to college students down in St. Louis, and she was there with one of her, you know, beautiful daughters, and she kept a cheerful attitude in Christ Jesus. And she taught us about life, not only by what she said, but by the way she lived, and also by the way she died. And she died in Christ, and she set for us, I think, a good role model for what it means to be a Christian and remind us what the Christian life is all about.
Turning to the subject of the Pope's visit to the U.S., when we review Joel Osteen's sermons and his books, he is kind of the Pope of American Christianity. We often bemoan what Joel fails to say more than what he actually says. Is this how you feel a bit about Pope Francis's recent visit?
Yeah, except, you know, I had more hope, I think, for this Pope, because And, you know, a lot of among my Protestant friends, you know, there can be, you know, papal bashing or Catholic bashing. And that's not where I'm coming from, because I work in the life movement and I work ecumenically across, you know, the religious divides an awful lot. And I have so many friends who are strong Catholics who I think themselves would have hoped for a better voice. And the thing is, when the Pope comes to town, in some ways I feel sheepish even writing about it, because he is not my religious leader. On the other hand, he has a microphone, he has a megaphone to speak to the world, and to the world he represents for many what it is to be Christian. So whenever, you know, whoever speaks the Christian message, I cheer them on. And it just so happened that this Sunday's gospel was, whoever is not against us is for us. And this is the way I think about many of these Christian leaders. I cheer on Franklin Graham when he steps up to the plate, even though I don't believe, you know, what he believes about baptism. Whenever anybody makes a witness for Christ, I cheer them on. And I was waiting all week. It was nagging, really nagging on me as I listened to the Pope. And I was, you know, wherever I went, I would turn him on, because part of me, I was just cheering him on. Please make a witness for Christ. Please make a witness for life. Our nation needs it. And I would welcome anything that he said. And, you know, I just came away from the whole visit, I have to admit, a little empty.
So what was the let's talk about the opportunity that he had. Of course, wherever he goes, opportunity follows him. He is the Pope, after all. But he was walking into a context here in the United States, in particular when he addressed the joint session of the U.S. House and Senate there. He was walking in a context that was ripe for some moral authority on the issue of abortion. What was that?
Yeah, I mean, right now, if there's any time that the tables could be turned, like Jesus going to the temple, if there's any time the tables could be turned that we could make a difference when it comes to life, it's right now. The time is ripe for this, because we have all these Planned Parenthood videos out there. We even have some, you know, Republicans who are kind of waking up and actually finding that the abortion, the pro-life message actually sells. We have people who are mentioning. See, this has kind of been a frustration of mine for a long time with politicians who said they were pro-life, but you'd have to, like, listen for it very, very carefully, and they might, like, drop the line in the speech and say, you know, and they might say, I believe in life or sanctity issues, and it was always in coded speech. Meanwhile, they would talk about other things, you know, in much more broad terms, and they would elaborate. But when it came to life, I always felt like we were, you know, always the ugly sister. We were always the one who the politicians didn't really want to bring to the table. And, you know, I was hoping, you know, with the Pope, that he could come and say a word. And I think he had such a great opportunity. And on my mind this week, I've been thinking about, really, Matthew chapter 10. And in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says to the apostles, whoever confesses me before men, so also will I confess him before my Father who is in heaven. And he says, what you hear whispered in your ears, shout from the rooftops. And this was a great opportunity. He had the microphone. He had the leaders of our nation there, and he could have called them to account. He could have offered a prophetic word, and it didn't have to. It could have been an indictment, but it could have also been a moment of great leadership that our nation has been hungering for. And I'll tell you, if he would have stood up there for life, if he would have made it clear, if he would have trumpeted that, I think I would have, and I think many Christians would have given him a standing ovation. And then in the speech, it almost came to it. He said, you know, I value life at every stage. Now, the thing is, I know what I think that means, but I'm not sure whether the world has any clue. It's kind of a coded speech. And just at that moment, when you think he's going to give the life message, oh, the letdown, because then he starts talking about the death penalty. And at that moment, I went to the internet and I looked how many people die because of the death penalty every year. And I looked this past year, so far, 25 people have been put to death because of the death penalty. These are murderers and rapists and, you know, the worst. And maybe one could be innocent. So 25. Meanwhile, 1 million innocent children every year are being put to death, whose lives are being taken, the epitome of the innocents, and they have no one to speak for them. At least these criminals have lawyers that come in their defense who make case after case for them to keep them from getting the final death penalty. Who is speaking for these innocent ones, these little ones? Well, this was an opportunity, I mean, that could have been world-changing. And I was, in every way, I was rooting for him. And I want my Catholic friends to know I still am. I speak these words not because I'm against them or against him. I'm speaking a word of certainly frustration, but also to all of us, we can and we must do better.
I don't get it, Peter, how, first of all, there's no consequence. He would simply be articulating the consistent millennia-long teaching of the church on this. He has no political consequences to fear. He's the Pope. He has a beleaguered, perhaps majority, I don't even know, maybe even a minority, something of Catholic faithful in the United States who have been saying, in spite of what the press has been trying to tell us, that he's just a regular old Pope instead of some sort of a grand reformer progressive. To me, there's no reason why he can't simply speak frankly. Use the words that are unmistakable, like the unborn, like abortion, things like that. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think he should have talked about the babies, and I think he should have talked about their little fingers and their little toes, and I think he should have talked about Christ in the womb of his mother Mary and Christ sucking his thumb in the womb of his mother Mary and made the connection and made the Christian connection too. But draw for us, paint for us a picture of this child in the womb, how powerful that would have been. And now what you say about the Pope is, I think, a great point to make, and I think we can all learn from this. I mean, because I say it this, you know, I'm 49 years old. I've lived what I consider to be a good life by the grace of God. It's a gift from God. And, you know, the world does not owe anything to me. It's not like I've traveled, I've been places, I've eaten good food, I've had a good family life and all of that. And I feel if at this point I can't stand up for the little ones and then stand up for our future, the future of our society, then who am I? And you're right, you know, this the Pope is, I don't know, he's in his upper 70s. So you even have that. And I tell, by the way, our older folks, it's we who are older, and I don't want to put a burden on a young person. Maybe in their energy they will. But we who are older have no excuse. And you're right, the Pope could have done some great things. And, you know, if tomorrow he were to make the great speech about life, I would cheer him on. So, yeah, that's the way I feel. It was a missed opportunity. And, you know, these things don't come around too often. And certainly a moment like this, it was kind of like the blood moon that came around. I think another one will come in 30 years. Well, he had a lot of popularity. He had a lot of what we would call political capital. The question is, you know, if you have that political capital, are you going to use it? Or are you simply going to accumulate for yourself more popularity? And here's the frustrating thing, I guess. I mean, I shouldn't let my frustration out too much. But I've been in the public square an awful lot. And I've spoken for the Catholics. I've spoken for the Catholic adoption agencies in Massachusetts and Illinois, talking about the other great issue, marriage. I've spoken up for them because they are no longer able to offer their adoption services because they will not adopt out to gay couples. I speak up for them on their behalf all the time, and I find it ironic that me, this little Lutheran professor here in Fort Wayne, is standing up more for their cause than their own leader. And, you know, and I'm clear about these things, and I say it not to my own credit, but, you know, I'm drawn back to this thing: to whom much is given, much is expected. And that means a lot for us as Lutherans, too. We can't hide. As Lutherans, we have this, and it's to our shame if we then do not use our voices and speak to this issue.
Dr. Peter Scarer is our guest. We'll have a few more minutes with him on the other side of the break. We're getting his perspective on Pope Francis's U.S. visit. It's Monday afternoon, the 28th of September. He's Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
At Concordia Evangelical Lutheran Church of Wilmington, Delaware, our mission is to serve our community by sharing Christian hope. We've been doing this since 1938 and joyfully continue to do so in the 21st century. If you're ever in the city that DuPont Chemical Corporation calls home, or is known by some as the credit card capital of the world, we hope you visit to receive Jesus through His Word and Sacrament. Otherwise, check us out on the web at concordiawilmington.com.
Real Reformation Radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Dr. Peter Scarer, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're talking about the Pope's visit recently to the U.S. Now, if you've ever considered the vocation of pastor or deaconess, check out the Prayerfully Consider Campus Visit October the 8th through the 10th at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. There's time for worship at Kramer Chapel, an opportunity to attend classes, and to interact with the faculty and with the current students. Remember, Prayerfully Consider October the 8th at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You can find out more at ctsfw.edu. It's October the 8th through the 10th, right there on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Scarer, let's talk a little bit about the family issue, because the reason for the Pope's visit, among other things, of course, was the World Meeting of Families Congress. And how did he do on the score of marriage?
Yeah, you know, there was some hope there, I think. And the problem was, I think, that in this day and age, when we have confused people, when we look at the world now, even among the Christians, they are confused when it comes to the family and when it comes to marriage. And I also find them to be very afraid. They're frightened. They're frightened by, you know, what looks like this administration, but really our whole society, like we are entering into an age of persecution. And I think what needs to happen, I think when it came to marriage, we had the same, or family, it came to the same sort of thing. He mentioned the fact that, you know, the secular society, their definition of marriage is becoming quite different from our own definition of marriage, the Christian church's definition. But he didn't go any further. What he needs to do, and what we all need to do, is to be given, we need to be able to articulate an answer to the world as to why the family matters. What we need to be able to say is that the family is not simply a religious institution. as if this were an indifferent thing. Because we need to be able to say that every child has a biological mom and dad, and that it is a natural right, it is a God-given right for that child to reasonably expect that that biological mother and father will then care for that child. Every child deserves a mom and dad, and every child is born of a woman, and that woman will be there at birth. The real question is will the dad be there? And that's what marriage is for. We need to make that case. And the Pope could have made that case. And unless we are able to explain this to the world, then what happens to Christians is that they will be labeled and are already being labeled as the equivalent of racists and haters. And the significance of this needs to be addressed, because this means not only can Christians not run adoption agencies, the logic of this means eventually, and this is frightening for Christians, but this is true, that if this logic is allowed to follow its logical course, then Christians won't even be able to adopt, because Christians will be thought of, they will be pathologized as being these haters and these people who are bigots and the equivalent of racists, not the kind of people you want raising children. This means for Catholic schools a great difficulty. Certainly in the state of Indiana, we do receive state funding. I don't see how that will continue. So I think there he spoke in ways, I think he is absolutely right, that one of the things that we need to do is to reinvigorate the imagination of our people. We need to tell them how it is that families function. These are things we can do. This is why, for instance, I think Christians, as long as we can for the next few years, we need to really make a big deal out of every Mother's Day and every Father's Day and tell the world what it is, what's special about moms and what's special about dads and how they're different and how they complement one another, and that this is all facilitated by marriage. We need to speak about how marriage unites the generations, and we need to show how gay marriage is not a happy alternative for our society and how it's hurtful. So yeah, I mean, the thing is it could have been, and there are very good people on the Catholic side, and I recognize it's diplomatically very difficult for them. One of the great advocates for the family and for marriage is Robert George, a Princeton professor, and I know he was there, you know, talking at a family rally there with the Pope. So these are delicate matters, but when I offer my critique, it is a friendly critique, and also, but one I think that has to be made, and I think in some ways, we who are on the outside but who are sympathetic are the ones that can make it perhaps the best.
Well, and I wonder about two things. First of all, he, in addressing the political system that he did, you don't walk into a joint session of Congress without and be, credibly be able to say, I'm not here to talk to your politicians. He was talking to our politicians, many of whom are Roman Catholic, many of whom right. have taken public stances in their voting and they're governing against the teaching of the church that he is the head of. Should he have talked to them too, directly?
Well, and this should have been a strong rebuke. I mean, when you have a person like Nancy Pelosi claiming to be a Christian and also not simply being pro-choice, we would have to say pro-abortion in the worst way, and including many of the Catholic leaders, he should have called them to account. And this was not speaking the truth to power. And what you saw, even though, and I feel very badly for faithful Catholics, because for them, he is their papa, he is their father. And, you know, for those of us who love our own pastor, let's say in our parish level, we understand, you know, because we might love our pastor very much, and when he says something that's false or difficult or maybe doesn't say the right thing, it's very hard because the personal ties are great. And I do understand that. And this is not, and even though, you know, as Lutherans, we certainly have a problem with the papacy in general, you know, the past popes have been better. I mean, Benedict would not have been like this, I don't think. And John Paul II, he spoke truth to power. I mean, he spoke against the power of the communist regime. And when the Pope came to Congress, he could only offer, you know, his greatest thing was climate change. I mean, if anything, it could almost drive a man to drink how many times he talked about climate change. And I'm thinking, you know, how in the world, one of the lines that got me, really got me, he said this, he says, we've got to work on climate change so that we give to our children a better world. Well, how can we give our children a better world if we don't allow those children to be born? If we kill them in the womb, they'll never know what the temperature is. So, you know, the priorities are all out of whack, and it just looks like, to me, and this is not to judge a man's heart, but just from the consequences of what who are the people who are praising you. And this is one of the things I tell my Lutheran friends. It's not simply, you know, if a guy disagrees with you, then you know where he disagrees with you. But you should always give a guy credit when he has the right enemies. So when I see a Christian of any stripe who has made an enemy out of the secular media, who, when the secular media dislikes you, that I'm starting to like you a little bit better. And I feel that way about Kim Davis. She's a fundamentalist. I don't know what she believes, but I do know she's proud of her bride. She's proud of Christ, who is her Lord, who is the bridegroom of the church. So I'm going to stand with Kim Davis because she has all the right enemies. And I find, you know, it's frustrating because Francis seems to have all the friends or the media darlings, the people who so often are against the church. Now that they love him, and he seems to have courted that. So I still wish the best for him. That's what I want my Catholic friends to know, that I pray for him and I pray for the church. And we've had good, you know, minister. We've had good in different leaders in our own church body. I know how this goes. And we are blessed right now with President Harrison, a man who actually went before Congress and made a bold, you could say, a wow, over the top bold confession, for which I am grateful. And I recognize that, you know, congregations are like this too. You get a faithful pastor, and then the next guy perhaps is meek and doesn't stand up. So it's not without sympathy that I speak. I do. But now it's one of those, to use the kind of terms, it's a kairos time. This is a time now to speak. This is a time of urgency, and we've got to do this now. So, yeah, so there's that, again, the word that keeps coming up there is the frustration, even if it is sympathetic.
Dr. Peter Scares, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Peter, I always appreciate your perspective. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great day.
You too. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson about the birth of Moses. It's a story, it's a wound-up story that takes a little bit of telling, and it sets up the bigger story of God's exodus of his people. So we'll be in Exodus chapters 1 and 2 with the birth of the great deliverer, Moses. What kind of hostility do Christians encounter? When does hostility become persecution? And how can we respond? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month is Standing Firm, A Christian Response to Hostility and Persecution. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Standing Firm is written by scientist Dr. Jesse Yao. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Standing Firm, A Christian Response to Hostility and Persecution.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us, and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues, Etc. journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues, Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues, Etc. journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues, Etc.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.